But anyway, I'm going to have to preach on joy. So y'all pray for me. It's going to be tough and everything like that. Okay. But I tell you what. We spoke this morning of rivers in John chapter 7. Let's just read our text here in verse 37. It says, In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Boy, there's something there, I promise you. Saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. By the way, notice that little phrase, as the scriptures have said. That's back in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 44 and verse number 3. And in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 8, I think is at least two of the places that he is. I think there's others. I think one of them is Ezekiel. But that's where I know, I'm just nearly positive that's where he's referring to back in there. Then he said this, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Rivers of living water. Galatians chapter 22. Let's turn there just for a moment. Look at that as a subtext to our deal tonight. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. The Bible says, but the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And I said this morning this, that love is like the Mississippi. It is the main river of which all the other fruit of the Spirit come out of. I really believe that. I don't see how you can have joy if you ain't got love. I don't see how you can have peace if you ain't got love. I don't see how you have gentleness. I believe love is the fountain out of the throne of God. And that as that fountain runs through our soul, God is going to send other rivers into it, just like he does the Mississippi, like he does any river system. He's going to shoot these other rivers into it. And we said this morning that God loves rivers. God creates rivers. God designs rivers. I tell you, while I was preaching this morning, by the way, I want to say, Brother Matt, he got a little ministry he's got. He goes over to the truck stop every Sunday morning and knocks on the trucker's doors. Is that right? Over here at the truck stop. Wakes him up and says, hey, I'd like to invite you to church. He's been doing that for a while, and he brought one church with him this morning. Ain't that right, Brother Matt? Man, I want to tell you something. That was a blessing to me beyond measure. I want to thank you, and I'm not trying to praise you or nothing, but blow your balloon up, but I'm just telling you this. I appreciate it. You watch out. The devil will come at you for doing that. That takes love. That takes commitment. That takes sacrifice to go over there, knock on them boys. It takes guts. Knock on them boys' door. I mean, they'll pull up at 9 a.m. and say, what do you want, you know? But anyway... He brought that man to church with you this morning. And boy, I tell you, that is a blessing. And that's what we need to be doing. Now, I appreciate it. But anyway, Galatians chapter 5, we said that I was preaching. And as I was preaching, now this is bad, I know. And now you'll say, I understand why you get so off the wall. While I was preaching, I was thinking about this river. I was seeing more and more analogies from the river to the spiritual life as I was preaching. I was preaching on one side, thinking on the other. And thinking, well, I can't preach on this because I ain't really ready. But one of the things hit me was this. I came up early and I turned on that water to run that deal. Now, I realized the water come out of the town water system. But where's the town getting its water from? It's getting it from a well. Where's the well getting its water from? Underground river. You go around this country and you punch a hole down, you're going to hit a river. You ain't going to get nothing. You know better now. If it's pumping up junk and you know nasty stuff, you ain't got a well. You can't even use it. But when you hit that good water and that clear water starts coming up through there, you've hit an underground. It dawned on me that most rivers are underground. Most rivers are underground. And I'll tell you something. A lot of the, if this thing on, Paul, is it on? Okay. And most rivers underground. Isn't that a blessing to know that God's got more than we need underground here? You know, if we was coming through the country here and you couldn't find a spring, you used to, they'd find springs. But isn't it a wonderful thing that on your place, you don't necessarily have to have a spring. You could punch down and find it. Just because the Bible says it's a well does not mean it's not a river. Because the well's punched down. Now, if it's a cistern, that's another thing. But if it's a well hitting into a stream of water underground, that's a blessed thing. By the way, that's where God cleans that a lot and purifies and so forth. And it speaks of the unseen work. You know something? These kids sat in church, and not like myself, sat in church all these years. And I realized that I went to church a lot of years, maybe wasn't saved, but I'm going to tell you something. It's not a waste of time. There's an unseen work that goes on in the hearts of people. You know what? I bet you How many of you remember what I preached on last week? Anybody tell me within 3 seconds, what did I preach on last week? Huh? I can't even remember myself. What'd you say? Okay, that's good. Because I couldn't remember. I'm serious. Most of the time, we don't remember what somebody preached on. But God takes the word and he assimilates it unseen into our spirit, and we become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ by that unseen work of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. It is not the words and the stuff that's coming out of my mouth or the Sunday school teacher's mouth or other stuff like that. It is the work of the Holy Spirit taking that and assimilating it into our lives that counts. And over a period of time, you may not be able to remember certain specific things, but you know what? You're not the person you were 20 years ago, or you're not the person you were 10 years ago. You have grown in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, another thing is, I thought about rivers. They produce power. You dam one of them rivers up, buddy, you can send electricity to this church. I would probably assume that the lights you're using tonight are coming from a river. Would that be safe to assume that either that or a coal plant? I don't think we're getting our power off a coal plant. But that river, the power in water is producing the electricity that's putting the power in here. Boy, if that won't preach, I'll tell you something. That means you ought to reservoir, dam up, you ought to reservoir the water out of the river. And in that reservoir, God will give you power in the ministry and give you power in your life. Woo, I mean, that'd preach, wouldn't it? But anyway, God loves and creates rivers. Now, the water is a type and a picture of the Holy Ghost of God, and that gives life. We're born of the Spirit and so forth. It's an unseen source. It's circular in the fact that God gives and it's to return to God. The rivers flow into the sea, and that love, God loves us. We love him because he first loved us. There's a circular thing that goes, give and it shall be given unto you. And God, love is circular. In other words, it's designed to give out. And if you give it out, it'll come back into your life. And so anyway, tonight I want to preach on, we preached on the river of love, this main river. Tonight I want to preach of kind of like the Ohio coming into Mississippi. I want to preach on the river of joy coming in, flowing into your life and through your life. Let's pray. Lord, help us tonight to preach this in Jesus' name for his glory. God, to do some good and help folks. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, this is a serious, serious area of life. Lord, it's an area where the devil attacks, maybe, Lord, in ways they don't, unlike in any other way. And God, I've watched it in my own life. I've watched it in the lives of people across the country ministered to, Lord, in this church, God. And I see it, Lord, continuously, the battle for joy. Lord, the desire to have it, but Lord, the battle to keep it. Lord, I pray tonight that the river of joy will flow through our lives, that, Lord, we will see, Lord, through your scriptures, Lord, what it takes, Lord, to keep the channel open, Lord, for the joy to flow through our souls. God, we need it, and we need it bad, and I pray that you'll pour it out on us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I would encourage you tonight possibly to write down, if you've got anything you can write on tonight, I'm going to be preaching kind of some points tonight, and I won't preach this like I might have done in a revival meeting. I want it to be more of a feeding message tonight, something of real practical value that you can look, go out of here tonight and say, you know what, that helped me. Maybe something you can look back a few years from now and say, you know what, that helped me. That made a difference in my life. God's word made a difference in my life that night. And so here's what it is. I want to define joy as best I can tonight, but I want you to listen. And I didn't get this out of somebody's book. So a lot of things I do, but I didn't particularly this here. I wrote down this as I prayed over this. I said, it just came out coming to me this. Joy is the life of God, the life of Jesus Christ, the life of the Holy Spirit. It's the life of the triune God in us that manifests itself by the Holy Ghost inwardly and outwardly producing some things. I mean, joy is the life of God in us. When we got saved, it's in us and it's manifesting itself. Joy manifests itself. In other words, it comes out and it's to be seen, to be experienced and to be enjoyed and felt, but it produces something. Now listen to me here. Joy will produce brightness of life. We're to be the light of the world. Joy is what turns the light bulb on. Joy produces brightness in our countenances, in our eyes. There was a family here today, and I was visiting with them after the Sunday school lesson, and they've got a little girl that looks like they've adopted. She's a very dark-skinned little girl, and I mean that little girl. When you looked at her, she was smiling. It looked like light bulbs just coming on. And I commended her for that. I said, man, you have got the joy of the Lord just shining out of your eyes. And I'm going to tell you something. There's probably very few things that ministers to people like the brightness of God's joy in our hearts. It produces gladness. There's a verse over. I want you to write this verse down. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 47. Did you know that God said he would curse Israel, that he would bring evil upon Israel in a sense because they did not serve him with gladness? You know what? It's that basically they just are moping around serving God with a half-cocked, you know, smirk on their face, frown on their face. They weren't excited about it. They weren't joyful about it. They said, yeah, we're here. God says, I'm going to get you. I'll tell you what you do. I want you to take your Bibles. Turn to that. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 47. It is so powerful. I sat and stared at this verse for about 5 minutes this week, just stared at it and marvel at it of what God said. Verse 47, Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say, hold on. I didn't hear it. There's a little hold on. All right, Deuteronomy 28 and verse number 40. Here it is. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with what? Joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies. God said, because you wouldn't serve me, you wouldn't get up in the morning and say, bless God Almighty, bless the Lord, oh my soul and all that's within me. Thank you, Lord, for a good night of rest. Lord, thank you for this day. God, I love you. I appreciate you. Lord, help me to be a blessing to you and others today. Because I come into church, you say, and I know, hey, we're going to get into that a little bit about joy in this. But I'm telling you something, that's a powerful verse. You ought to lock that verse in your heart. You ought to I'm not going to skip over that one. I'm going to get a hold of that one. Because you wouldn't serve God with joyfulness. Joy is so critical. I mean, how'd you like for your kids? If I walked up to your kids and say, how do you like living with your folks? Oh, it's tough. How many of you parents would like that? Does your mom and dad take care of you? Oh, it's pretty rough. Not been good. Did you know what? And you fed them and clothed them and they got to go here and they got to go there and they've got to do all these things in life and they've never starved. They've had plenty of clothes and they're not happy and they come to your table and they mope. God says, I want to tell you something. I have poured my blessings out upon you. I have given you abundance. See, Jesus said, I came to give you life, life more abundantly. He said, and you won't serve me with joyfulness and gladness. I'm telling you right now, this is a spiritual battleground because all across the country, kids are going into church with their folks and they're going into churches where preachers aren't even preaching with joy. Teachers aren't teaching with joy. Singing ain't singing with joy. And they're saying, I don't want it. I don't want it. I can get that anywhere in this world. I'm telling you tonight, listen, and I don't want to get into a negative spirit on this thing, but I'm telling you right now, oh, I would that the Holy Ghost of God would say to each of our hearts tonight, I am not living another day without the river of joy flowing in my heart. I don't care what's happened to me. I don't care what people have done to me. I don't care what the circumstances of life have brought to me. I am not living another day without the joy of the Lord flowing through my soul. I'm going to have the river of joy. Jesus said he could give it. He said it would be there. He said it would flow out of your belly. I'm going to live in that faith, in that arena of life. It's a manifestation of brightness, gladness, happiness. In fact, I believe it means it produces excitement. It produces enthusiasm. It gives energy. It gives radiance. And by the way, it's not a show. And it's not a giddiness. And it's not a put on. And it's not a joke. And it's not a comedy hour. It's joy of the Lord. Secondly, it's critical to know this. And if you don't get anything else tonight, I want you to get this. You have your Bible ready. I'm going to show you something that you will not hear preached very much. In the arena of being a happy person, to being a joyful person, it is critical for you to know as a child of God, as a pilgrim of faith in Jesus Christ, that joy and sorrow will exist in you simultaneously. That you will experience both joy and sorrow at the same time in your life. I'll prove it to you in the Bible. Take your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. We're going to look at three passages of Scripture tonight. Romans chapter 9 and verse number 2. Paul said, talking about the people of Israel, he said in verse number 9 and verse number 2, he said this, if I can ever get there. He said, verse 2, he said, I have great heaviness, watch this, continual sorrow in my heart. And he was talking about his burden for the nation of Israel and how they'd rejected Jesus Christ and how they were opposing the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right? He said, I'm so heavy about it that I could wish myself a curse for my kinsmen according to the flesh. That's the Jewish people. By the way, I'm going to preach a message for very long on the doctrine of the Jew first in the giving of the gospel. But Paul said, I've got continual heaviness and sorrow. But wait a minute. Write this down. In Philippians chapter 4, sitting in a jail cell, Paul said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice always, he said. Okay, watch this. On one hand, he said, I've got continual sorrow in my heart. How many here tonight, don't raise your hand, just think to yourself and be honest with yourself. You know, Reggie, I probably could say with Paul that I have continual sorrow. I hate that song, Man of Constant Sorrow. Makes me sick. If I want to get in the depressive mood, listen to that thing, Hound Dogged Out. Right? You remember my preaching on that. I wrote a new song about it. I'm a man of continual joy, not sorrow. Now, I get off of that, okay? But I'm just saying this. If you're not careful, you can get into a side of life where it's just continual sorrow. Oh, yeah, you smile and you say, hey, how you doing, all that stuff. But down inside, there's just, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a scriptural deal on that. You can have continual sorrow and yet rejoice all the time. That's a biblical fact. And it's a reality in you if you think about it. Now, I want you to take a Bible to, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Now, this is the just shall live by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God. And that's what we're doing here tonight. I'm going to tell you what, I ain't up here trying to put on a preaching show. I want to feed the flock. I want to put something in your heart to help you, help me, and build us up in the most holy faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Let's see. Boy, I'll tell you what, am I getting things right tonight? No. There it is. Okay, here we go. As sorrowful, here's what Paul's talking. Look at what he said. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. There's a dichotomy. So here's what I want to tell you folks tonight. I love you. I love you. I don't want you feeling guilty because on one hand you feel sorrowful. On the other hand, you feel rejoicing. That is not uncommon. That is not unscriptural. It is a fact of spiritual life. That you can have sorrow tonight while you're sitting in that seat and yet at the same time rejoicing about other things. It's critical you get that. Why? Because the devil will come to you and say, well, if you really had joy, you wouldn't be feeling so bad. If you had joy, you wouldn't have that sorrowful feeling. You wouldn't be so heavy tonight. There must be something wrong with you. You're all time heavy. You ain't got what, you ain't laughing, smiling, acting like you've been at the county fair with Reggie. Let me tell you about Reggie. I'm like that. I'm just exactly like Paul. I try to discipline myself when I come to church not to drag my dead cats in here with me. I got things that makes me heavy. Reggie Kelly makes me heavy. You know, I mean, he's enough to mess with to get my goat. My failures, my sins, whatever it might be or situation. I'll just tell you the truth. I was preparing this message tonight. I'm at the kitchen table. Karen's gone. And phone rings. I pick up the phone. And I'll tell you, the devil threw a dart right at me to try to shoot my joy out right in the middle of preparing for this message. That's just like the devil. And I don't want to be negative tonight and throw nothing like this, but to be honest with you, you need to expect probably in the next few days, the next week or something, just really try to knock you out of the boat, knock you out of the river of joy. I'm just being honest with you. Anytime you seek joy, you're going to come into spiritual warfare real, real fast. And we'll get to that a little bit later now. So don't be critical of yourself. Don't be perplexed because you experience both joy and sorrow. It's part of the Christian experience, okay? Number three, the devil will go after your joy almost above all things in your life. That's true. I personally don't know of anything he'll go after. You see, out of that river of joy, that river of love coming down through here, and here comes this river of joy, out of that is the spring from which a lot of other things that makes you useful to God comes. The Bible said in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you take away a man's spiritual strength and he loses his joy, he's in trouble in a lot of areas in his life. I want you tonight to get this, that the joy of the Lord is very, very valuable to you. Very, very important to your life. I want you to realize that Satan's going to come after it, and he's not playing games. He is going to head on you. I mean, he is going to come at you wild to steal your joy from you. Because if he can steal your joy from you, he will take your strength away from you. All right? What will happen is, if he takes your joy away from you, he will drain you spiritually. Because you need joy being pumped into you. You need the Spirit of God being pumped into you. You need the love of God. You need, that river needs to be flowing. If he can drain that off somehow or another, divert that joy off, he's going to drain you out to where all of a sudden you're seeing the bottom of the river. You're seeing the flow of the river and the water's gone. He'll drain you out to where you have no strength. There's nothing coming in. And when there's nothing coming in, there can be nothing going out. He will destroy your testimony, because I'm going to tell you right now, when you walk around and the joy of the Lord is not, when you've been drained of your strength and drained of your joy, it comes out. It shows. People can see you have lost. I mean, you know, people may walk up and say, oh, what's the matter and stuff like that and things like that. I'm talking about if a consistent pattern of that begins to occur, you will lose your effectiveness for Jesus Christ. Your testimony is gone. Anybody can get that down to the sour pickle plant. I'm telling you, they can get that. If you lose your joy, the strength's gone. I mean to tell you right now, Satan is after it. He wants you to not have a smile on your face. He doesn't want you to have any brightness in your countenance. He doesn't want you to have any enthusiasm in your life. He just wants to drain you of that joy. And I'm telling you tonight, it is a serious, serious spiritual warfare that goes on. That's why I'm preaching this differently than I normally would. I want us to grab hold of this tonight. I want to preach it in joy and gladness, but I want to preach it in seriousness. That I want to tell you something. There's a certain treasures that God has given you. You don't want to let the devil steal from you. You ought to make up your mind. You leave out of here tonight. I am not letting the devil steal my joy another day of my life. I'm not doing it. Not going to let him steal, because he'll steal that joy from you. And so then he'll distract you from your commitment by self-pity. If you get self-pitied and you lose your joy, pretty soon you're distracted from ministering to anybody else. And then you defile, it'll defile your cleanliness. First thing you know, you got stupid thoughts and everything like that. Instead of joyful thoughts and clean thoughts, you're defiled. And the second thing, it distorts your faith. It makes you have wrong thoughts about God. Because, you know, well, I'm not happy. I've been serving God. I haven't done anything for me. And it'll defeat your purpose. You're supposed to be the light of the world. If you don't have joy in you, how can you be the light of the world? Now, so first of all, the devil go after you in that to get your strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, the Bible said. We need to be strong. I'm telling you something. The day you're living in, we need spiritual strength. I'm telling you something. We need spiritual strength. And if he can steal your joy, he stole your strength. It's over. Okay? I mean, you're not lost, but your effectiveness and your joy and your enjoyment of your faith is gone. The second thing it'll do, if Satan steals your joy from you, it'll affect your health. It will affect your health. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. Joy, I don't know how to explain this, but how many's ever come to church and, you know, you just didn't have the best of weeks and you don't maybe feel the best, but you walked into church and you walked over somebody and you shook hands with them, and then you walked over somebody else and they got to visiting with you, and somebody, you know, smiling. First thing you know, you're feeling lots better than you were before you got to church. Has anybody experienced that besides me? I've experienced that 1,000 times. But the Bible says a merry heart, now watch this, a merry heart doth good like a medicine. I don't understand all about that, but I can tell you this. There are people, medical people, who say that smiling and gladness and joyfulness releases certain types of chemicals in your body that are good for your body and that preserve health. Now, I don't know all about this, but I believe that. I really do. Because if you get your joy stolen from you and you start getting down and you're feeling bad, and I'm telling you, this preacher right here, when I ain't feeling good, my spiritual life, it deteriorates. Leave me alone. Get away from here. Get out of here. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm just saying. And so Proverbs chapter 19:22 says, a merry heart doth good like a medicine. Well, watch this. If a merry heart is medicine, then that should be, I guarantee you God's medicine will be good. That should be good for your health. That doesn't mean that if you're not in good health that you've got something wrong. That's not saying that at all. It's just this, that in a basic principle way, we're all going to die. We've got bodies that are cursed and headed to the dust, okay? But I'm telling you something, this God knows that we need good health. And by the way, it's not just speaking of physical health. We need to be healthy emotionally. We need to be healthy spiritually. And if possible, healthy spiritually, so we can do the work that God's called us to do. Third thing is, it'll weaken your ministry. Watch this. Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. If I walked up to you this week, you know, let's just say that I walked over here and I said, and I didn't know Ezra. I just ran across him and I walked up and said, here's a gospel tract, tells you how to get to heaven. You sorry low down thing, you're going to hell, don't you know you need to get saved? How many thinks he'd be really, really interested in what I gave him? I believe he'd run home and say, Dad, you ought to see this guy I met today. He's an idiot. Amen? I'm telling you something. If you don't have the joy of the Lord, it'll destroy your ministry. You won't be the light of the world. You won't be any salt. I'm going to tell you, the people that get your attention, people smiling. People smile. You always wonder what they're smiling about. Amen? So it'll do that. Now, let me say this to you. Joy is not foolishness. I mean, you know, there's a difference between joy and having fun and a good time and foolishness. It's not jesting. The Bible talks about foolish jesting. That's having fun at other people's expense, other people's suffering, and you getting a big kick out of it. It is not goofiness. It's not giddiness. It's not silliness. That's not joy. It's not fun in the flesh. It's not fleshly pleasures. And joy is not dependent upon everything going great. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 had their feet in stocks. They were in a jail, stripes on their back, and at midnight, they started singing and praising God. Joy is not dependent upon circumstances. It's determined as to whether the river's flowing or not. And it is a result of knowing that all things are working together for good. Now, I'm going to tell you, in the past, you know, over the time of my Christian experience, I've hit some pretty rough waters. I've had some very, very rough things hit. You have too. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that keeps me going and keeps me enthused is this, that behind all this junk that I have in front of me, behind all these problems, this stupidity and all these human experiences that make you want to vomit and go live in a monastery somewhere, I believe and know that all things are working together for good to them that love the Lord and the called according to his purpose. I believe and know that though they may have meant it for evil, God means it for good. And that is the difference. You can go through a lot of sorry, low-down things, but if you know what, even in God's, you can say, well, I'll tell you, God ain't in that, and God ain't in that. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, God may not be in it, but he's going to take it, and he'll use it. Now, so let's get into some things tonight. I'm going to try to get these to you pretty quick, but here's where I want you to write down. How do we get the river of joy flowing into our souls? How do we get the river of joy flowing into our souls? Number one, you ought to get saved. You can't have the river of joy flowing in your heart unless you're saved. Amen? And the Bible tells us we've got to be born of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit then is within us. Galatians 5:22, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. You're not going to get it anywhere else. I mean to tell you, Branson isn't canning it and shipping it out. Hollywood is not boxing it up and sending it for UPS. The only place you're going to find joy in the whole wide world is through the Holy Ghost. The joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. By getting saved. Now, this is what gets my goat. It's saved people who say they're saved and they're not having joy. I don't care if you're sorrowful on one hand, but on the other hand, you ought to have joy. Luke chapter 10, verse 20 says, rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. God says, if you don't have anything else in the world to be joyful about, be joyful that you're saved, amen. That you're not going to hell. Woo! Where have we gotten to wake up in the mornings and realize I'm not going to hell and not be happy about it? Where have we gotten to? I mean, we get drugged down this junk of church life. I'm gonna let them know something by the way I act. Oh, really? Help yourself. Have a good time. But leave me alone. I ain't letting you steal my joy if I can help it. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying this, listen, why don't we get off that junk and remember that we're not going to hell and have some joy? I mean, it bothers me. I'm just going to be honest with you. It bothers me for people to say they're saved and they ain't. You going to hell? No, I ain't. That bothers me. I don't know. I don't get it. And then the same people go to a stupid ball game and are jumping all over the place and hooping and hollering and acting like eating popcorn, drinking pop, and acting like they're happy as a duck in the water. I don't get it. Sorry. I don't get it. I don't mind you jumping at the ball game. Jump! Amen. Run out down there on the floor and hoop and holler and have yourself a spell. But be joyful about being saved too. Amen. Say amen once in a while. Say bless God Almighty. Say hot dog or do something. There you go. I always think about that old boy. He tickles me to death. He just got saved. He didn't know he was supposed to say hallelujah. He heard him say something. But he jumped and said, hot dog! Amen. Right in the middle of church. Amen. Oh, goodness sakes alive. Listen, the Bible talks about the joy of your salvation in Psalms chapter 51. You're not going to heaven. You know what? I ought to be joyful because there's a place being prepared for me in heaven. Jesus said, the one who created this world, go away to prepare a place for you. Amen. Coming again to get you. Why, if that don't put some joy in your soul, good land of living. You're too in love with this world. That's your problem. Come on. You're just too in love with this world. Well, you're redeemed. You're reconciled. You're justified. You're forgiven. You've been given eternal life. You're going to get to participate in a new heaven and a new earth. My land of living. Well, to be leaping for joy. Did you know the Bible talks about leaping for joy? It really does. The second thing is about how to get the river of joy flowing is not only get saved, but live in the presence of the Lord after you get saved. You can't live a long way from the throne and have joy. I'm just going to tell you. The Bible said in Psalm 16:11, it's my wife's favorite verse, I guess, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. If you want to have fullness of joy, you got to live close to the cross. You've got to live close to the throne. You can't be saying, well, God, I'm going to stay over here in the shadows and I'm going to go live as close as I can to the world. You got to stay close to God. I'm just telling you something. You can't rattle and roll all the way through life and just piddling here and piddling there and don't care what God thinks and don't meet God in the morning and don't meet God at night and don't read your Bible and don't pray and don't seek the Lord. You can't do it and have joy. Can't do it and have joy. You old timers used to say, you got to get under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. The Bible says, be led of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Got to live close to God. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Not half full, three quarters. Fullness of joy. And then the third thing, if you want to have a river of life, of joy flowing through you, have a good conscience. 2 Corinthians 1:12 says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. Can I tell you something? You can't have joy and go tell your neighbor off when be wrong about it and not go get it right. You got to keep your conscience clear before God and men in order to have joy. I don't know about you. I can't do it. The Holy Ghost will go, You just cannot. You cannot have joy. Keep that river flowing if you don't keep your conscience clean. Preachers don't preach on conscience as much anymore, but I'm telling you something. If you do, hey, you ain't the first person that ever said something or done something that wasn't right. You're not the first Christian that ever messed up. In fact, I will say this to you. I would never measure your spirituality by whether you've done something wrong or not. I will measure your spirituality as whether you'll go to someone and fix it. Because everybody's going to say something, do something stupid. The measure of your spirituality is if you value the joy of the Lord and your testimony and God's glory and God's name enough to go humble yourself and say, listen, I got to get this fixed. And that starts at the house. Honey, I shouldn't have said the pie was no good. You ought to see the faces I'm seeing in this church. I mean, to you, it's wild. Amen. It starts with your own spouse. Just going back over, you know. And how many's ever gotten a fuss and went to bed? Isn't that a blast? That just sparks life. I mean, you got into it really royally, you know, and it's 10:30. And you ain't even seen them for the last 45 minutes. Oh, you passed by in the kitchen, but I could preach on this for hours. I know all about this stuff. I'm good at it. Amen. And we spend the next, 2 hours justifying why we're right, and I'm sick of this. And you go to bed. Isn't it a blast? Back to back. Oh, and I know you got the lamp on and you're reading your Bible when they come to bed. And you say, if you finally come to bed, didn't you? Well, yes, but I've been having devotions. It starts at the house. It starts with your children. You do wrong. If you did wrong to your kids, you just ask them to forgive you. Listen, Daddy wasn't right. Daddy didn't talk right. Daddy didn't do right there. I need you to ask me to forgive you. I want to get this thing fixed. You're going to have joy? I'm just telling you, don't make this with me or you. You're going to have to get your conscience fixed. Number four, God's word brings joy. Psalms 19, verse 8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I'm going to give you a little something now. Hang on to your hats. I can measure, I can sense my own spiritual joy level by how much I'm reading my Bible. How much, now not just reading, but really being with God. Because that book will bring joy to your heart. You'll read and God will bless you. And you may have had the most stupidest things in the world happen, but you opened your Bible up and the Holy Spirit of God started ministering to you. And He gave you truths, reminded you of things. And all of a sudden, the joy of the Lord just starts flowing in your soul. The Bible said in John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you that your joy might be full. God says, read my word, I'll fill your river with joy. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse number 16, Jeremiah said this, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And Jeremiah had reason to be down. But he said, I found God's word. And in the midst of all that's going on in Israel, in the midst of all this junk in this world, I found God's word. And he said, it's the joy and rejoicing in my heart. Man alive. There's just so much. Read it, meditate, receive it, apply it. Love rejoices in the truth. Thy word is truth. And when you know something I know about you tonight, if you're saved, when you hear truth, it really tickles you. I mean, it just blesses your heart because truth will rejoice the heart. Number five, if you want to keep the river of joy flowing in your life, use godly, wise words. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. And a word fitly spoken in due season, how good it is. Let me tell you my experience. I don't know whether you can relate to this or not. But if I say words that I shouldn't have said, it's just like the river dries up. And the power of life and death is in the tongue. And wrong words, ungodly words, unscriptural words, it'll just cut that river off. And if we want to have the river of joy flowing, and I'm not going to cross words, cuss words, gossip words, complaining words, murmuring words, defiling words, it'll get you joy. It'll plug the river up. Number six, the spiritual growth of our loved ones will cause joy. This is wild. I really hadn't prepared this message this evening. I probably preach five or six original messages in my whole life. I just steal from this guy and that guy and try to mix them all up so nobody ever recognizes where they came from. That's what most preachers really do. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm always looking for good thoughts or maybe an organization of a subject or so forth like that. But it amazes me how God, confirms things to you. We were in Colorado, and I'm not trying to, sound, but yeah, we went jeeping, and we did a lot of fun things. We had a great time. But the fact that all 22 of us could go together, the fact that in the evening we could cook meals and sit around together, and on a Sunday evening, we gathered around campfire and just visited and talked about the things we had to be thankful for and maybe kind of edify one another a little bit in the Lord. I'm going to give you a scripture, and it's in the book of 3 John. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I went home today. I was a little late. Had to visit with some people, and that's not a problem. But I went home a little late. There's a little rise, about a quarter of a mile, till you get to my driveway. And when you go up on that rise, if you look to the left, you can see my house. Our house. God's house. And I looked over the left, and I could see all the kids' vehicles. And there was just a flood of joy come over my heart. It wasn't the vehicles. It was just the fact that, you know, we've all got our, you know, we're just pilgrims on a journey. But I'm going to be honest with you. There is nothing that gives me more joy than to know that my children are trying to follow God. And they may struggle with issues and areas of their life like their daddy. But I promise you, when it's all washed out, there is no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth, that they know the Lord, that they believe the fundamental doctrines of Scripture, and that they're saved. Conversely, foolishness, a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Kids, let me tell you something. You want to give your mom and dad some joy? Walk in truth. Walk in truth. I tell you, you may never be a big shot. You may never have a lot of money. May not be what the world describes as somebody big. But if you walk in truth, you will give joy to your parents. You'll give joy to your parents. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or our joy, our crown of rejoicing, are not ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" I thought about that old song, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" Psalms 126:5 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Can I say something to every parent in here tonight? You listen to me. Ain't none of us going to get by without some struggles. Okay? But if you sow in tears, the truth of God's word, God will write the last chapter. I believe that. I don't believe that the child can get so far, but what the Holy Ghost can't bring him back. And if you'll sow that truth in his heart and his mind and her heart and her mind, I'm going to tell you, God will write the last chapter. You sow that in them. God promises, they that sow in tears, sow what? Sow that book, sow the truth, sow his love, sow his joy, sow his life into the heart of that child. And I'm telling you, you will come back rejoicing, bringing your seeds with you. And it may not be to glory land, but I promise you, God will write the last chapters. I've been a pastor here long enough to know that the best intentioned parents in the world still have problems. We all do. And nobody wants it. I'm going to move on. Number 7, trials, testing, and persecution will bring you joy. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Blessed are ye. He said, "Great is your reward in heaven." He said, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Let me tell you something. None of us really want to face testing and trial and persecution, but I will tell you this. If responded to scripturally and right, they will bring rejoicing in our hearts. And I've experienced that. I want to encourage you that. James chapter 1 talks about the trial of your faith and so forth. 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about after that you've suffered and the things like the spirit of glory resteth upon you. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 5, it says this, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." And tonight you may be in a night, and the weeping may endure for a night. But I'm going to tell you something. God never made a night without a day. And weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. Number 7, or number 8, I guess it is. Keep a view of eternity. Keep a view of eternity to keep your joy. If I look at the national debt, I don't dance. If I look at all the Supreme Court decisions, I mourn. When I look at all this deterioration of this nation, it doesn't. But you know what? When I view eternity, I have joy. The fact of it is, the worse it's getting down here, the better that's looking to me. Amen. Amen. The river of joy will flow through and out of your soul when you see life and time, your work and your purpose, your labor, through the telescope of faith. In my Bible, I wrote down years ago a thought God gave to me. The success of your life, Reggie, will be determined by how well you see into eternity. Listen to Matthew 25, verse 41. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, if that ain't sweet honey from God's word, I never read any. You know what he's saying to you and I? You know why he told us that ahead of time? He knew that you and I would be trying to be distracted by all the sorrows and strifes and trials and troubles of this life. And he knew that we would need to catch a glimpse of glory and hear him say ahead of time, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. If you want joy in your life, you keep a view of eternity. Oh, I know you're going to glance at that stuff you're walking alongside, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Set your affections on things about it. The joy of no, watch this. I wouldn't trade being saved and called to preach for nothing in the world. I'm telling you, wouldn't trade for nothing. There's more value, treasure to it than I'll ever be able to understand. But I'm also going to say this. I would never recommend to anybody going into ministry unless you know your call. I'm just telling you. This evening, Hannah was telling me. Hannah's here somewhere. Where are you at, Hannah? Did she have to leave? I don't know. But anyway, Hannah was telling me about some missionaries. I'm going to share this now. I'm not going to give the names, but Sister Walters, I don't stay up with the missions like I need to, and I fail in that area. But please help me too, okay? And just don't care if Reggie don't like her or not. Throw that stuff at me. But Hannah said that she had gotten contact through Facebook from some missionaries that we've supported now for many, many, many years. And she said, Reggie, she said she asked me, are you Reg Kelly's son or daughter? And she said, yes. She said, well, I thought maybe you were. And she was telling me the fact that this missionary couple have had health problems like nobody's business. They've had to leave the mission field, take care of his parents, got multiple health problems, 4 years of just terrible, terrible things. One thing just like dominoes happening in their life. They had to cease being missionaries. And she said this, that this church, the only church that was still supporting them. All other support had been dropped. And then she said to Hannah this. She said, in a way I feel guilty. I want the church to know we are not on the mission field. I feel somewhat guilty. And if you all decide to quit supporting us, we'll understand. But at the same time, you'll never know what it meant to us to see that check come in the mail. And she told Hannah, she said, Hannah, I opened up the mail this morning or what, yesterday, whatever it was. And she said, I wept because I do not know how we're going to pay our bills. People who gave their entire life to be missionaries. Her father was a missionary. Oh, I wonder where the blessings of God's at. Right. Oh, I thought it paid to serve God. And let me tell you something. If you don't keep a view of eternity, when that stuff hits you, you're going to lose your joy. But if she will, lift up her eyes and know that if they've been faithful over a few things, that her heavenly Father will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I'll make thee real. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. Oh, before we go home, I give you this. That's all those. The joy of the Lord, I said, it's where we know it's worth it all. That we have an eternal reward. That God will set everything right. That the future is honestly bright and glorious for us. We can be joyful. There are biblical expressions of joy, and I want to encourage you in this. Give them to you and we're out of here. Number one, smile. Now we're going to practice. On the count of three. One, two, three. Smile. Amen. I want to tell you something. Smiling is an expression that there's a river flowing through me from an unseen eternal source. Smiling. Please, I beg you in Jesus' name tonight, make up your mind you're going to smile. I'm going to smile, whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to smile. There's too much to smile, not to smile about. Second thing, an expression of joy, singing. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. You are my sunshine. I'm not saying you should sing those songs, but I'm... My mama used to sing a song. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling that everything's going my way. What happened to the Americans that used to sing songs like that? People who didn't have dishwashers, microwaves, running water, air conditioning. The air conditioner's broke! It's hell on earth! I mean, what happened to Americans who could sing those kind of songs without all the stuff that we got? And then, so I'm not going to get on this. You know I could preach for an hour on singing. Thirdly, praise the Lord. Just make up your mind, I'm going to praise Him anyway. Memorize Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within thee. Number four dawns in, worship the Lord. Just worship Him. Amen. Praise Him. Thank Him. Worship Him in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what? Expression of joy is worship. I mean, if you got joy, you don't mind worshiping. If you have joy, you don't mind encouraging other people. Expression of joy is encouraging other people. Be an encourager. Be an edifier. Be an exhorter. Encourage other people. Don't waste another moment of your life sitting there not smiling, not singing, not encouraging other people. Don't waste another day. Good works. Doing nice things for people, things that help other people. Bake some cookies, you know. Buy them a $100 gift certificate to Andy's and stuff like that. Thankfulness. Thankfulness is an expression of joy. Thank you. Boy, I appreciate that. Thanks for the dinner. Thanks for supper, Mom. Daddy, thank you for going to work today and thanks for the new boots, and thank you for the jeans, and thank you for the shirt, and thank you for letting me drive the car. Thank you. And just all time, just be thankful. Just be thankful. And then shout. The Bible speaks explicitly of shouting for joy. I thought y'all believed the Bible. And then the Bible speaks of skipping joy. The other day I was headed out of church and one of these little kids in this church right down through the sidewalk he went just a skipping. I thought, you'll get over it. You'll be like the rest of us pretty soon. They're skipping joy. You know, isn't skipping kind of funny? How many here can skip? All right, now. Here's what I want to do. We're going to skip our way to our cars tonight. got to see the faces back there now. I'm saying this to you. What does skipping say to you? Happy.
Joyful.
Got a spring in your step. Let's stand. Skip our way to the car.